People of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him on the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it is impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of my life, and you will fill me with the joy of your presence. Brothers and sisters, we all know that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him an oath, and he would place one of his descendants on the throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he is not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses to the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he was received from the Father, the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand until I make enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah.
Thank you, Fiona. If you have your Bibles there, please leave them open. This is the first recorded speech or sermon after Jesus has returned to his Father in heaven. So it really is very significant. And what a change has come over Peter. There he stands, he addresses the crowd. Seems he has no fear of public speaking here. The way he boldly tells them about Jesus. But 7 weeks prior to this, this would not have been the case. He wouldn't be saying these things. If you think back 7 weeks from this event, Jesus is arrested and Peter is there. And he follows Jesus. And then there's a girl and she sees Peter and she recognizes him. And she says, this man, he was with Jesus. But he denies it. And someone else says, yes, you were with him. And again, he denies it. About an hour later, someone else says, yes, this man, he was with Jesus. And Peter replies, I don't know what you're talking about. And 7 weeks later, 50 days after those dramatic events of that first Easter, he declares him to be Lord and Christ. Now that is a massive change that has come over him in 7 weeks. He's now saying big things about Jesus and who he is. Lord. Now that is the name given to God in the Old Testament. You read the Old Testament and God there, he's Lord, he's Yahweh. And Christ, the Christ is the Messiah, God's promised King and Saviour. And Peter now stands and he declares that Jesus is the Lord. He is God and he is Christ. He is the Messiah, he is the promised one. So that's a massive change that has come over Peter from denying to declaring. Now why? Why this change in Peter? Well, this morning, Mal and Mel have declared their faith in Jesus. In Jesus Christ, God's only Son, their Lord. Now, they're big statements, because he's a man, but he is a man like no other. As Alan said, as a church, we've just started working our way through the Apostles' Creed. This is our second week, and this is by far the biggest section that we are looking at. Saying that we believe in Jesus, we trust in Jesus. And Mal and the godparents, and most of us have said yes to that this morning. This is the basis of our faith. All right, without these things that we've declared about Jesus, I would say none of us would be here this morning. We would not be Christian if it were not true, these things. Christianity would not exist. Our life, our faith is built on this. This is the foundation of the Christian faith. So it is very appropriate that we look at it today alongside the baptism. So back to Peter. How is it that he comes to the conclusion he does? That Jesus is Lord and Christ. Well, it's really one event. One event in Jesus' life that marks him out from everyone else. And it's not the miracles he did, although they were pretty special. And maybe you've wondered at times, wouldn't it have been great to have been there to see what Jesus did? To have been at that wedding when he turned the water into wine, and to be there when he walked on water, or just to have seen one of the miracles or the healings that he did. They do show God's power at work. Now have a look there, verse 22. Peter declares it to be so. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. There's no denying that Jesus did miracles. Josephus is a Jewish historian in the first century, writing there, not a Christian, but he writes about Jesus. He was a doer of startling deeds. But that doesn't make him Lord and Christ. It's not his death either. Other men were crucified, although none would have the significance of Jesus' crucifixion. Verse 23. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. There's no doubt that Jesus did die on the cross. Right? The Roman centurions who are there, they do not make a mistake. They do their job properly. Hours after Jesus has been there on the cross, they find him dead. In John's Gospel, it speaks of one of those soldiers piercing Jesus' side with a spear, putting the spear in, and what comes out of his side is blood and water. Now, this mightn't have been known at the time of writing, but we know today when someone dies, the blood separates. You have clot and serum, the clear liquid. Jesus was dead. But it's not Jesus' death that brings this change upon Peter to say that he is Lord and Christ. It's this next one. His resurrection. Verse 24. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. But Jesus is resurrected. God raises him to life again. And this is what makes the big difference for Peter. Peter then goes on and he talks about someone else. He talks about King David. Have a look, verse 29. Brothers, sisters, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But not Jesus. Verse 32. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Now people, they get to see the resurrected Jesus. Right, if you were there at that time, you might have been able to see the resurrected Jesus. Now, this is how Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, for what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep, have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also. So for 40 days, Jesus appeared to many people. They got to see him, that God raised him to life again. And after 40 days, Jesus ascended into heaven. He was exalted to rule with God the Father. Verse 33, Acts 2. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear, the events of Pentecost. For David did not ascend to heaven. It goes on, and Peter concludes, verse 36. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. This Jesus, whom they crucified, he is the Lord. He is Christ. He is the Lord. That's saying he is God himself. And he is the Christ. He is God's promised Messiah, God's promised Savior and King for the world. And Peter, he is convinced. He's 100% convinced. He is convicted to the core. And it changes his life. He has reason to get out of bed each day. And it's not to catch fish. It's the reality of who Jesus is. And these people who are with Peter, as they hear him, they are cut to the heart. Verse 37. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? What shall we do? If Jesus is the Lord and the Christ, they want to know, well, what do we do? What response does it call for? Peter replied, verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. The right response is to repent, to come to Jesus. If he is God, if he is the Christ, we are to believe in him, put our faith in him. Be baptized in the name of Jesus. And that day, we don't know how many were there, but we're told some 3,000 people did just that. They turn to Jesus and say, I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord. And their life would never be the same. They would have a renewed reason to get up out of bed every day. Verse 40, with many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Well, that was then, nearly 2,000 years ago. What about today? Who is Jesus to you? Can you say he is Lord and Christ? Can you stand and declare, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord? Do you see, Jesus is a man, but he is a man like no other, for he is God. He is God's Son. God loves us, loves his world so much that he sent his one and only Son down into the world to show us God, to show us the way to God. His death means that our sins can be forgiven. His resurrection means he defeats death. Death is not the end. We hate death. We grieve over death. But it is not the end. One day we will all die, unless Jesus returns first. But we too will be resurrected. Death has been defeated. We have this great hope of the resurrection, where we too will get to share in the new heaven, the new earth. Jesus has been exalted, he reigns. One day he will return and he will bring an end to this world, and his kingdom, the new heaven, the new earth, will be established. You see, these are big things are being said that we say that we believe in. And what it does, it provides a big picture of life. This is one of the things that I love about this. It provides us a big picture of life, of what is to come and where we fit into this picture now. It gives hope, doesn't it, to know these things. And it gives meaning to life now. Well, let's come and have a look at the words of the Apostles' Creed. So you've heard them already this morning. If you've got an outline, they're printed for you just on the inside of that handout. You'll see there that 8 of the 19 lines of this creed are all about Jesus. This is what we believe about Jesus. It's declaration after declaration showing that he's a man, but a man like no other, for he is God. This is what it says. I believe in Jesus Christ. Or you could say there, I believe in Jesus the Christ, King and Saviour, his only Son. That is God's only Son. In the lines before, we declared we believe in God the Father Almighty. Here we're saying we believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, God's only Son, our Lord, our God, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died and buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. We believe in him. This is what we believe about him. It's big. And to many people, maybe some of you here this morning, it's foolish. And you might laugh at us, at those who believe these things about Jesus. but not us who believe. It just makes so much sense. This is Jesus. This is God's Son. This is how God shows us how much He loves us. And He's revealed to us Himself through His Son. As creed, you could break it up into three sections. The first, which really focuses there on who Jesus is, His identity, His birth. And then looking at His death and resurrection. And then His ascension and rule. Just like what we've seen in Acts 2. Peter's life was changed. Believing in Jesus that He is Lord and Christ will change your life as well. It will give you the big picture of life, where you fit in. It will give you hope. It will give you meaning. And it will give you reason to get out of bed each day. It was a few years ago, I was asked that question by someone. They said, what is it that drives you? What is it that gets you out of bed each day? And I don't know how you go answering that question, but I struggled, put on the spot by this person, to answer that. And that it troubled me. But this is reason. Knowing who Jesus is and the meaning that He gives to your life. So if you are believing in Jesus, rejoice in that and see what it is that you believe in, who you believe in, and the difference that that makes to your life, that He makes to your life. If you're not sure about believing in Jesus, that's okay. And we got a stack of Luke's Gospels on the table up the back. I want to give you one. So if you're not sure about any of this, but you are keen to think about it, just grab one of those. Read it and think about this person, Jesus. Maybe there are some amongst us who want to start believing in Jesus. He calls us to repent, to believe in Him. If you do that, your sins will be forgiven. You'll receive the Holy Spirit. So if you want to believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you just need to talk to God. Prayer, something like this. I've come to see who Jesus is. Thank you for sending your Son into the world to die for me that I may be forgiven. Thank you that you raised Him to life again to give me life with you now and forever. Please help me to live with Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I'm going to pray that right now. You can see the words on the screen. And if that's you, if you want to believe in Jesus, start believing in Jesus, then pray along with me. Dear God, I've come to see who Jesus is. Thank you for sending your Son into the world to die for me that I may be forgiven. Thank you that you raised Him to life again to give me life with you now and forever. Please help me to live with Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, if you have prayed that prayer, said those words to God, then that is good news indeed. Let us know today so that we can rejoice with you. Grab one of the Gospels. Keep reading about Jesus. How about we stand and declare our faith, what it is we believe, who it is we believe in. So let's stand, and if you believe, say it loudly. Don't mumble it. Together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, He rose again. He ascended into heaven, and He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Stay standing because we are going to sing our final song.